Welcome to the podcast, Keep It Simple. Join our hosts, Tom LeComp and Gavin Durson, as they discuss the joys and challenges of being the simple church in a complex world.
Well, let's move on. Let's talk a little bit about some books. I know I'm a big fan. I don't know if a lot of folks out there are able to do this just yet, but I'm always a big fan of free resources.
Oh, yeah.
And books are becoming more and more accessible to read on your phone or on a tablet if you have one, or even at your computer. And we have several free resources that are out there available. And most of the time, those get downloaded. When you go to download them, they a lot of times get downloaded as a PDF file. Mm-hmm. And you can read those in your iPhone or your Android device as PDF files, kind of flip through them page to page. Or you can download them and print them out in some cases, which it might take a little bit of time to do, depending on how long it is. But you certainly can read those on a tablet or on your computer.
And a lot of them are available free on Kindle.
Yeah, that's right. So, won't you? What are some of your favorites there, Tom?
Oh my goodness, the books is probably my biggest category. I've been reading these books for about 10 years, and some of the top books that made it to my list. Of course, Neil Cole. We've mentioned him a lot. He's got several books out there. Organic Church is probably a good foundational work if you want to read that. And then Church 3.0. Those are two of his works. And he's talking about how the church should be a relational church, and discipleship happens through relationships. So there's Neil Cole. His website is cmaresources.org, and you can find those books on his website. You can find them on Amazon. Probably have to pay a little bit for his books. They're not on PDF yet, but you know. He's like any author, you know. Authors want to make money on their books too, but that's okay. Another contemporary of his, Steve Atkerson. His website is the New Testament Reformation. Oh goodness,
NTRF
and New Testament Reformation Fellowship or Foundation. I'm not sure, but he's all about the simple church, the organic church. He's one of those guys that if you go to his website, you can hear a lot of audio, you can read a lot of articles, but he's written a few good books. Ecclesia is one of them. And then there's his latest book is House Church, Simple, Strategic, Scriptural. Those are both available. Not sure if they're free or not, but Wolfgang Simpson. He's got a lot of books and audio out there. Houses That Changed the World is his first book, and it's been republished
under the House Church book.
The House Church book. It's kind of been abridged, but if you want to go for the original, I recommend either one of them. He's very famous for coming up with 15, and I got to say this right, 15 theses. That's with a TH. 15 theses of House Church, and that is a document that's circulating online. If you Google that, 15 theses, you'll find they're just 15 little principles about.
I think it's kind of been maybe reworded in some places as advantages, even perhaps I've seen where he, you know, and maybe but that's a definitely an interesting book. I'll throw a couple out.
Sure.
I'm a big fan of the free resources. Again, on our website, simplechurchalliance.com, if you go to the blog under books, there's several linked under there. We have a recommended readings heading that has several of these listed. But the Luke 10 Manual is a free resource by Steve and Marilyn Hill. Great little download. I tell you, a book that a guy gave me, which is by... It's very interesting book. It's by a guy named Jake Colson. It's also
the Jake book. Yeah.
Yeah. It's also been co-authored by another gentleman as well. But So You Don't Want to Go to Church Anymore. That's a really interesting book. It's kind of written in the vein of a the fictional book,
The Shack.
It's kind of like, it's not quite that but it's the same idea. It's a story about a guy who's working at a church, and he's starting to kind of question what's going on in some things. There's a mysterious man that shows up in his town and starts visiting him, and they have a series of conversations. And it's a very interesting book. I think it will challenge you. It even will challenge the notion of just house church being the answer, which is something we don't necessarily believe either. It will challenge that. It's not just a matter of changing your church and going from meeting
changing
in a building
location
to meeting in a house.
Yeah.
But it's really a great book. It's a great, it's a really interesting book to read. A Simple Guide to Hearing God is a book by online book, a free book by Felicity Dale, which kind of sounds like that. Again, there's nothing about organic or house church in the title, but it's been a resource that's been extremely helpful to me and a lot of folks I know, because I think for the average person, starting a church in community is something where it's like, well, what are we going to talk about? How do we know what we're supposed to be doing? How do we know if we should go do this or not go do that, or sit around and talk about this or study this, or just study nothing and pray today and fellowship and encourage? How do we just know all of those things? And I think the big lesson we've learned is that, well, it comes down to listening to God and doing what He says. And that's a great resource to kind of help you think through, how do we learn to hear God's voice better? And then my favorite book that I buy and give out like candy is a book called Small is Big, and it's by Tony and Felicity Dale as well. Mm-hmm. It was actually published originally under the title The Rabbit and the Elephant. And if you go on Amazon.com, as I often do every month or so, a lot of those pop up for a penny, and you just pay the shipping. It's actually a hardcover. The newer updated version, Small is Big, it's not a hardback, and I think it has one extra chapter in that book that kind of addresses incorporating working with traditional churches as the last chapter in the newer version, I think, but it's not included in The Rabbit and the Elephant. But The Rabbit and the Elephant is essentially the same book, and you can find it great deals on it, and I highly recommend that as kind of a great just overall. I don't know. I'm starting from scratch. I want to learn more about this. I'm a reader. You're going to get the whole bit of it. You're going to hear stories of people that have done it, how God's used it, how-tos, the whys, the whats, the whens, the wheres, all that good stuff. So that's one. And then a book that I think really kind of changed. Really, it was instrumental in opening my eyes to what God's doing globally. Is a book called Church Planting Movements. I know. By David Garrison.
Yes, that's on my list.
And that's a book. It's kind of a book you would read in a college class, perhaps. That's where I was introduced to it. It's more of a kind of a summary of research that he did, but definitely will be an eye-opening type of thing. Help you to really realize that, golly. The church looks vastly different across the globe, and where God's moving across the globe, and where He has been moving in the last recent history, it's been a lot of simple church type things that God has been using to really explode the kingdom and His church across the globe. So it's very encouraging, and it does kind of address a little bit at the end of why isn't this happening in North America? What might have to change in order for this type of thing to happen in North America? And so that's a really good book as well.
A couple of more books on my list. I'm all about the missional aspect of Simple Church, House Church. So a couple of authors I enjoy reading, Del Burkey. He passed away recently, but he has a couple of good books. One is called The House Church. Just very simple. He also has an update of that book. It's called The House Church Book. And that's the same title as Wolfgang Simpson's, but it's a completely different book. But it talks about how the house church is up and coming. I'm not going to say emerging, because that's not a very good word lately. But how the house church is a product of this culture, and how it can change this culture. I haven't read the whole thing yet. An oldie but goodie, a couple of them. Roland Allen, from way back, he wrote 100 years ago, about the turn of the 20th century. He wrote two good seminal books that are worth studying. Missionary Methods, St. Paul's or Ours, that talks about how our current, or, you know, it's still good today, but our current methods of doing missions is not the way Paul used to do them, and they're kind of counterproductive. So he goes back to, hey, let's look at what Paul did, and let's copy what he did and analyze what he did and how he was cross-cultural and yet, you know, much more effective than what we're doing nowadays. Another book of his is The Spontaneous Expansion of the Church and the Causes Which Hinder It, very similar to that. And I think he influenced David Garrison and George Patterson and all these modern missionary church planning thinkers. But just talking about how, if you read the book of Acts, how the church just exploded within a few short decades and went to the ends of the earth. A couple more good books. George Barna is really a house church advocate, and he's either written or co-written several books in the last decade. One of his first was Revolution, and it was pretty controversial back then just because of who George Barna was. I mean, he was like the evangelical statistical research guru, and now he's like coming out and saying, I really like this house church concept. So it's a good book to read.
Well, and it wasn't so much, I think, and that book was really huge for me because it wasn't so much that I think he was saying, hey, I like house church. I think, he was taking a very just here's the reality of what's happening approach. And he showed that in that book through statistical research and analysis that essentially people were leaving the church by droves, but they weren't leaving Jesus, and that they were finding faith community outside of the church. Right. And in many instances, those people were even shown to be more vibrant in their faith in some ways. And what they believed, as far as the doctrines of the traditional doctrines of the church, were oftentimes more embraced even by a lot of those folks than sometimes that what we saw in the mainstream traditional type church. And of course, that was a bit of controversy about that because some people may question this or that or his methods, but he was basically just trying to say that, you know, I think it kind of hit a nerve with this notion that to be a good Christian, you just got to be in the church every time the doors are open, which is still present in parts of the country, certainly in Kentucky. There's a lot of that still lingers. And he kind of said, well, that's not necessarily true. You know, there's a lot of people that are in the doors, church, every time the doors are open. They don't even believe in the basic doctrines of the church. They're not obedient to a lot of the Bible, and they're not reaching out to people. And certainly that wouldn't be a surprise to anyone, but he just showed, hey, there are people that don't go to church who are obedient, who are reaching out, and who are believing the same things, you know, that you. So it was interesting, and I think it struck a nerve. It really, I think, resonated with me and a lot of folks because I said, hey, that's kind of me. I felt like that's.
It resonated with a lot of people, and I really think he put a positive spin on the whole movement, or maybe it wasn't being called a movement back then, but he put a positive spin on the phenomenon, and that got several people upset.
He said, hey, this is okay. This is a good
thing. You're encouraging people to leave church. Said, yeah. No, not really. But
Hey, another book. This is, again, linked up. It's a free resource, and I've spoken with this gentleman before on the phone, a great guy. I don't know him really well, but just really appreciate what he does across the globe and also what he's doing out the western part of the United States. But Roger Thoman has a free download called The Simple House Church Revolution, and you can download that in PDF. And he actually does like a little course that he does along with that book every so often. I think it's one's getting ready to start up right now where I think they do
I haven't looked at that. I'll get together. Look into that.
So that's a pretty good good resource there as well. So again, those are, man, a lot of things, and there's, I'm sure, a ton more. There's a million that we're not even mentioning. But hopefully one of these resources will be a help to you. And I think I would say this about this discussion about resources or things that might be helpful. I don't think there's anything that can replace the resource of another human being. And so if you're out there listening to this, I don't think all the books and videos and downloads in the world are going to be as helpful as having a friend, a person in your life who is doing this. And that's something I know that Tom, you and I have talked about. We want to help be. Obviously, depending on where you're living and listening to this, it might not be ideal at first, or might look more like phone conversation or Skyping. That's something I know in the coming year. We just had our first hosted a Google Hangout, and we were able to pull together some people out there, some who have listened to this podcast, who give some face-to-face time for those people that are more kind of out there on their own or feel like they're out in an area where there's really not made any connections with other people interested in Simple Church. That's something I know I'm going to be doing more of this year. And if you're interested in that, just shoot me an email or contact us. Be watching for that. But I think there's just something to be said for that you know, having a friend that you can call up and say, man, I don't understand what's going on here. I'm struggling. That's the greatest resource there is, a brother or sister in Christ that really understands. And, you know, there's a lot of people out there that have a lot of ideas, but someone who's doing it, you know, someone who's actually a part of a house church, and they're not just going to be talking to you about what theory or what they've read and
right.
good idea, but this is something they're doing, you know.
Yeah.
Every week they got a community of people they're a part of. So if you don't have that, please let us know, and we'll try to connect you. That's something I know that's really heavy on my heart in the future, in the near future, is I really want to try and help connect people that are geographically close to one another so that they can begin relationships with each other, and even if it's just via phone, like I said, or Skype, so that they can be connected at some level with other human beings that are doing this and begin a relationship with folks. So,
okay. I want to begin the book discussion, and I want to end the book discussion by saying, you know, all the books in the world are not as worthy as just reading the scriptures. If you could only pick one book, pick the scriptures. These books are supplemental to that, but start with the book of Acts. If you want to read how the church was formed, how the church expanded, what Paul did, what Christ, you know, how Christ was proclaimed, read and reread the book of Acts. And in fact, just read the whole Bible. I mean, I'm going to take 2015 and I'm going to read through the Bible. If you want to follow me on that, I got a Facebook page, and I'll put a link to that on there. It's just simply called Reading Through the Bible in 1 Year. I do that every other year. So read the Bible. That's the best book.
Yeah, and it's interesting when you have this discussion. You know, I really think that some of these resources, really what they do, I think all of us come to the Bible. We come to the Bible with a set of lenses on when we read it. You know, it's just, I would love to believe that we could, I think ideally we think, well, when I open up this book, I'm just reading it and I'm pure, there's no cultural influences, my family has not influenced how I'm interpreting what I'm reading from this page. We like to believe that, but the reality is that all of us, we bring things to the table, I think, when we sit down and we read the scriptures. And so, one, acknowledging that, and two, some of these resources, I think what, and hopefully maybe this podcast can do, is as you sit down and you read the scriptures, you'll see them in a new light. You'll mm-hmm. see them with a different set of lenses on. I mean, and again, I don't think it's possible for us to come to it completely empty and completely uninfluenced by our surroundings and our upbringing and our, but what I realized was that, man, there's a whole, you know, there is a whole different way. And, you know, just simply the just asking the question, what did the church look like? What did they do when the church got together? What did church meetings look like? Where did they meet? Why did they meet? What was going on?
Mm-hmm.
These sorts of things.
What was the culture in which all that happened?
Yeah, and when you read the scriptures, just thinking about those things, and it really is amazing how you're like, man, I've been reading this my whole life. I remember, a classic example would be like, you know, it would say, you know, in 1 Corinthians, and we've talked about this on the podcast before, but I mean, my whole life I would read that, and you know, and it would say, if anyone, you know, has a word, he should, basically it was talking about the prophets, you should stand up and speak, and then if, you know, someone else has something to say, then that person should sit down, and the other person should talk, and my whole life I'm reading that and visioning a pastor behind a pulpit talking, and then him sitting down and the choir director getting up and having something to say, mm-hmm. and that's what that's talking about. You know, it's talking about, And of course, when you kind of look at it, you're like, one, it's not even talking about pastors, it's talking about the prophets, and it doesn't say anything about a choir director. And you start to realize, wow, I was putting pictures in my head as I'm reading this that just that weren't, it wasn't there, you know. And so hopefully some of these resources can help you take a look at the scriptures, and they'll come alive in new ways for you, and you'll be able to see things perhaps that you've been blinded to in the past. And I certainly pray that as you go down this road, that these things can be an encouragement to you. And I appreciate you, Tom, even saying that, because there is no replacement for the scriptures.
Okay. You've been listening to Keep It Simple, a podcast dedicated to the idea of being the church in simple ways. Find us on the web at keepitsimplepodcast.com. That's keepitsimplepodcast.com. You can also like us on Facebook at Keep It Simple, a simple church podcast. Or you can find us on iTunes. We welcome your feedback and your prayers.